Well, you know that we put out that sheet about relevant things for you as far as topics are concerned. And I don't know if you have inside your bulletin, I can't remember if I had that put in there, the series insert. And I told you that we would be doing some of these over the next, probably 13 to 15 weeks, but we wouldn't be doing them back to back because of the holidays. And we have a big holiday coming up next week. Do you know what that is in our church? All Saints Day. All Saints Day. Yep, November 1st. And what comes right before All Saints Day, the day before?
Halloween.
Reformation. Yeah, which is Hallowed Ian. All Hallowed Ian. That was a night that people got together and they had special worship services and prayers, and they remembered their loved ones that had gone on to be in heaven the year before. But today I'm going to go ahead and do one on the series, and the one that I picked is, you know, what about unbelieving family members? And I don't know which one of you picked that topic, but that would be one I would pick. How many of you have adult children? In other words, you're kind of empty nesters in some way or another. Yeah, I'm in that classification too. My youngest one is 19. And so my kids are all living their lives out there in the way that they've chosen to live them. And I have two that have been through college. So when I talk about adult children that are struggling with their faith, or are de-churched, I know what I'm talking about. How many of you have had children gone on to college? Raise your hand. Did they come back normal? That's a problem. What I mean by de-churched is really simple. They're not attending church like they did when they were growing up. And they're doubting, questioning their faith. Some of them may even say, I don't believe in God anymore. Do you remember last year when we left and we took that trip as families and we went down to Noah's Ark and the Creation Museum? Remember this? Some of you went along. I told my oldest daughter I was going to the Creation Museum and to Noah's Ark, and I was going to see, you know, how the world began and about the flood, and I was going to strengthen my faith with that knowledge. And she said, good luck with that. You see, today's kids, they've been through public schooling that tells them the earth is very old. And we told them for years when they were growing up as children, the earth is not that old. And so there's an automatic conflict when they come from church and go into the school, and from school when they come into the church. Now, I grew up in the 60s, and all of this was, you know, beginning to happen. When I was very young, they didn't bring up creation or evolution very much. It just didn't happen. But when I got in junior high and into college, more and more they began to teach this as a truth. And I'll never forget, I came home one time as an eighth grader, and we were sitting in the living room, and I turned to my dad, and I said to him, I said, do you believe that one time we were apes? My dad blew up. He was angry. And he's a public school teacher. He taught in high school. And he said, that's incorrect. And don't you ever forget it. God created you and me in his image so that we can have a relationship with him and love him. My dad also taught Sunday school. And so, if my generation as a baby boomer was struggling with this, Can you imagine Generation X and millennials struggling with what they've learned in church and in school? And so off they go to college. And I went to Madison. And if you go to a public school, they automatically, as a default, believe that the church or the world is very old. And everything is kind of based off that foundation. And then all of a sudden, they come home. You're going to church. What do your adult children automatically think when you ask them to go to church with you? They're thinking, that's my dad's old Buick. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to drive your dad's old Buick? You want a brand new Buick. You don't want to drive his. It's like listening to music from the 50s, which I actually enjoy. Anyway, they don't want to do that. They got their own thing going on. So they immediately have a struggle. My first thing that I want to say to you today who have adult children who have become de-churched or are becoming de-churched and you notice it is don't blame yourself. No parent, and I'm going to add grandparents into this, because I know grandparents care just as much as parents. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame anyone. Blame isn't helpful. Blame is negative. And blame will eventually lead to no good. Keep a positive attitude. Did anybody look at my Facebook devotion this last week? Did you read it? Keep a positive attitude. That's so extremely important for you as a parent or grandparent with de-churched Christian children, because they look at you, and if they see you as negative towards them or towards the life they're living, you're only going to turn them away that much more. Love them up, no matter what they say they believe. Love them up. Just as your heart is filled with love, love them up. Don't expect them to be monumental Christians just because you raised them that way. Second of all, keep your Christian witness, if you would, please. Be a visible, Christ-like model to them. They need that because they may not have it out there in the world. It's important that you keep your life as a model of Christ, because your actions and the way you hold yourself as a Christian will speak louder than your words. You know that, don't you? Your children watched you closely as they were growing up. They watched the things you were doing and saying. And by the way, I know you weren't perfect. There were times you failed. Don't let the devil get to you, okay? But it's important that you continue to grow as a Christian, because they will see that growth. And they will say, where did that come from? And eventually, one day, you can say to them, not from me. It was the Holy Spirit working in me. God did wonderful things. Another thing that I want to say to each and every one of you is that you can be real. I'm more real with my children today than I was when they were little. When they were little, I put on a little act, okay? Like I was the greatest man in the world. And in fact, to my son, he used to call me Mr. Magic Fingers because I could fix anything. Now, by the way, it's not that I could fix anything, but I would make it look like I could fix anything. And it's surprising what duct tape will actually do. So he used to call me Mr. Magic Fingers. There came a day when he saw there were some things I couldn't fix. And when he began to see that I couldn't fix anything, I turned to him and I said, I may be Mr. Magic Fingers, but I'm not God. If you have done your children wrong in any way, be honest with them. When they get into their 20s and into their 30s, you can begin to talk to them more like adults. And you can say, you know, I'm sorry this happened or that happened, and I was at fault, and I need you to forgive me. You see, forgiveness and reconciliation is paramount in any relationship, especially the relationship that you have with your adult children. And so there are times I sit down with my own adult children and I say, remember when? I remember this. Or I remember things that particularly bothered them as adult or as children. And so I say to them, now that they're adults, I'll say, you know what? I wasn't perfect. I wasn't right. I was muddling through the situation best I could, but that doesn't mean I didn't love you, and I love you even more now. Your children need to hear that. There may not be very many adults out there or people in their lives that say that kind of thing to them. By the way, grandparents, you got it made in the shade. Don't try to preach to your grandchildren. Give them all the love they need in the world. Think of it as candy, and then you're just sending them home. Okay? Love up your grandchildren. Let them know they have somebody to go to when their parents aren't doing it for them. Okay? Let them be in your presence, and you be the Christ-like figure. You be the sacrifice of love in their lives. Sound good? And all grandparents say, amen. I thought of these verses for today, Dan so eloquently read. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and gentleness in respect of your children. It's time to show it. As your children grow up and they say whatever they say about God, they still should get your respect because they grew up despite you sometimes. And so show them that. Show them they're adult children and that they can be trusted. But don't let them ever think God doesn't exist in your life, because they'll still model their lives after yours in time. And by the way, do you know when they will start to make their conversion back to Christ and the church? When they got their own children. Isn't it true? When they start to get their own children, then they say, you know, maybe mom and dad weren't so wrong. My children need God. If they don't have God in their lives, look at the world. Do I want that? Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which is the good news of our salvation life in Christ it offers. For it is the power of God to everyone who believes. So I gave you these six tips. Remember, your children do not have to become like you to go to heaven. You may be the greatest example of somebody who's going to heaven, and you think that way. I'm glad you've got powerful faith. But again, your children don't have to have this monumental Christian faith that you have. How much faith saves? That of a mustard seed. It just takes a little bit. Did you have them baptized? Yep. Did you take them to Sunday school? Probably. Did you get them confirmed? More than likely. Did you share your Christian faith with them from time to time? Yeah. Did you plant a seed? Okay. It may not be as big as a kernel of corn. It might have just been a little mustard seed, but that is effective. Don't play the blame game. Remember I talked about that? That's not positive. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame your family. Don't blame the school system. Don't even blame their own sin. Get it out of your head. Be optimistic. Be hopeful. Remember what conversion is. And I spoke about this real briefly before. Conversion is really simple. It happens because of the Word of God, not because of what's inside your children or even with inside of you. And I've got a Bible verse I want to share with you. As it comes from Isaiah 55, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. My word, that is the word of God, does not come out of my mouth and return to me empty. In the old King James, in vain. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I had it sent. You planted the seed. You offered the word to your adult children. They may be de-churched. However, God is working on their hearts. You must believe this and have hope that it'll hit the target come the day needed. If you do that, will you not treat your children differently? Share your testimony with them. You all have a testimony. Find the right time to do it, especially grandparents. This is another good one for you. You know, share with them some of the things you went through as a Christian growing up and as an adult. Don't be preachy, though. Give them a time to listen, but also give them a time to respond. Can I tell you just a real quick, short story about my grandpa, Carl? He's been dead now since the 70s, but I remember going to the farm up in Bruno, Minnesota. How many of you have been to Bruno? That's what I thought. Ain't much of a town. I went up to Grandpa and I said, Grandpa, are you a Christian? Just like that. And my grandpa said, yeah, let me tell you a story. My buddies challenged me to swim across the Mississippi River for a couple of beers. So I jumped in just to show them how tough I was. And I struggled, and I struggled, and I knew I was going to drown. And I prayed to God, please save me. And the river took me to a sandbar. And I was able to stand and get my breath. And rather than trying to swim across and test God, God told me to swim back the way I came. And I did, and I made it. And from that point on, I've been a Christian. He shared that with me. Do you know how strong a witness that was to me? That when I go out in life and I can't make it to the destination that I have appointed for myself, I can always trust that God will give me firm ground to stand on, turn around, go back, and be saved. I'll never forget it. You can share with your children some of your experiences that show that God loves you and cares for you and protects you. This is a good one. You parents can do the same thing. I know some of us Lutherans, we were baptized, right? We grew up in the church. We don't have much of a testimony because God just worked gradually and slowly here, there, and a little bit. That's okay. Share it. They need to hear from you God's love in their life. Next one, of course, obvious, get in the Word. And when you read the Word, this is short, I'm just going to give it to you quick. When you read the Bible, first ask God, what can I do for my de-churched adult children? Show me. And then let the Bible speak. Last but not least, of course, prayer. Pray for them regularly and often. I think I've told you this. Every once in a while, I'll send my own adult Christian children who have become somewhat detached a little text, and all it'll say is, Jesus loves you. I try to do it every month or two, each one of them. And how many times do I get back from them, thank you, Dad? And here I thought they were without hope. Sometimes. Thank you, Dad. Modern electronics and media working for God? You gotta be kidding me. Oh, yeah. An email, whatever it takes, just a little, Jesus loves you. And so, keep the faith. Live in hope. Live as that witness, and God will bless you. Amen.